when I read the gospel and actually hear the collect prayer with which we started the service, I am prompted and can't not remember Albus Dumbledore. Albus Dumbledore was J.K. Rowling's favorite character in the Harry Potter books. He is quintessentially good. He has spent his time, all of his life, as headmaster and founder of the Hogwarts School for Wizardry. He spends all his time attempting to pervert the mischief of Lord Voldemort. You can go online and get 87 wonderful sayings of Albus Percival Wulfric Brian Dumbledore. If you find yourself loved by someone, even though they seem to have gone away, you can trust that their love will be your protection. Goodness can be found in the darkest of times. Children, you have only to remember to turn on the light. I love that. I've been a Christian for a long time. I won't evaluate how well I have done, but I certainly understand that I pray to Jesus. What I don't always understand, and got from the gospel today, as I often have, is that at the time I'm praying to Jesus, Jesus is praying for me. I sometimes don't realize that. That's part of the Christian message, that Jesus is not only praying for you, everything he is to the Father God, he's giving to you. It's all promised today. Next week, Pentecost will be the fulfillment. The glory that he has from the Father, he has given to you. If that doesn't light your fire, check your wood, it must be wet. Think about that. I found the word glory in the strangest of places. Lieutenant Henry Moosey, in August of 1944, was given an order by General Douglas MacArthur to liberate the prisoners of war in the Gabarnatuan prison camp in the province of Luzon in the Philippines. 519 American soldiers had survived the Bataan-Beth March. 60,000 of them were marked without food or water, 89 miles. Henry Moosey took 200 American Army Rangers. There were over 200 Japanese guards, 519 prisoners, and Henry Moosey pulled it off with only two losses. And he spoke to these 18-year-old liberators. Tomorrow is the day of your glory. I'm not talking about the glory that puffs you up, that pushes everybody else away, the glory of your self-aggrandizement. I'm not talking about that glory. I'm talking about your glory, which will live forever in your hearts, knowing that today you are doing something worthwhile. Certainly, goodness can exist in the darkest of times. We just have to turn on the light. My father, after my mother died, my father tried to keep us all together. He knew a little bit about glory. He used to sing "On a Clear Day." Remember that song? I'll never forget it. He would be in, we never had alarm clocks. I can't remember an alarm clock. I can't ever remember setting one. What I can remember is him shaving in the bathroom, serenading my sisters and I to get us up. Norma, Johnny, Nancy, up on a clear day. Rise and look around you, and you'll see who you are. Oh, God. We used to have the pillow over our heads. And he wouldn't stop. On a clear day, how it will astound you that the glow of your being outshines every star you feel part of, every mountain, sea, and shore. This is to the mirror. And you'll hear from far and near a world you've never heard before. On a clear day, on that clear day, you can see forever. And it worked. We did get up. And I remember the clarity of his life. Goodness can be found in the darkest of places. Just remember to turn on the switch. So I took the grandchildren swimming and forgot Mary Abigail Elise's bathing suit. I suggested to universal discord that she swim in her underwear and a t-shirt. The boys were. Mary was no help. Why did you forget the bathing suit, John? I said, I forgot the bathing suit, Mary, because I'm just mean. And so we had a little altercation. She was screaming at me, this five-year-old, Pops, you really know how to hurt a fella's feelings. Little John Joseph, who's five, he ran out of the room. He'd getting out of harm's way, I thought, but no, he came back having drawn a big red heart on a piece of paper with I love you, and he gave it to her. And I said, John Joseph, you'll live to be 1,000. You'll never be more beautiful than you are right now. Well, this place is beautiful. It's had beautiful people in it. I have a wonderful story that belongs to you. I joke around a lot and say that I came here in 1978 when Bill Murray was 5 years old. And I've not been the longest serving priest here, but I've been the most frequently serving priest here. I just keep coming back. And there was a family here in 1978, the McCarthys. They stopped me outside this room and told me that they were not going to be here for Holy Week because spring break coincided with the public school system with our Holy Week, and they were taking their young son Colin out to San Francisco to watch his favorite baseball player who had been on the Braves but who had been traded to San Francisco. The name was Brett Butler. A young, wonderful center fielder whom the Braves traded away for a pitcher, hoping that he could finally get us out of the 100 lost seasons. To no avail. And Brett Butler is in San Francisco, and it's opening night, Good Friday. Well, in those days, we had the 7 last words. This is before the prayer book now. 7 last words at noon and 3 of the last words at 7 at night. And I got home about 8:30 or 9 o'clock and remembered the game. Oh, the game, the McCarthys are there. And the Braves are winning. 2-1. Bottom of the 9th inning. Uh-oh. Infield hit. Walk. Sacrifice bunt, Brett Butler the batter, line drive, center field, tying run scores, winning run scores, Braves lose 3-2. Brett Butler being pounded by his giant new teammates, and I went to bed. The next morning, guess what happened? Holy Saturday, we had no vigil back in those days. So we had nothing to do on Holy Saturday. We just walked around here. And Butler did the same thing. And the McCarthys called me. And I said, well, you've enjoyed the game? He said, actually, John, we didn't go on Saturday night. We've had a little problem. Colin, who was 7, put his hand in a hotel fan and severed 3 of his little fingers. And luckily, by God's grace, a microsurgeon was in the hotel having given lectures at the local hospital, and he told Lorraine to get those fingers and bring them in ice now. And he's reattaching them. And somehow Brett Butler, who is this wonderful Christian man, found out about this. I have no idea how he did, but he found out about it, and he took the game ball that he had gotten from the Giants and went to the hospital. And he sat down in that little boy's room and he wrote, "Dear Colin, God bless you always, your friend Brett." And in the San Francisco Chronicle, there was a picture of that ball player and that little boy with his bandaged hand. And then I forgot all about it. I went on with my life. The McCarthys all moved out of here to Sugar Hill. 10 years later, I'm in Los Angeles. Brett Butler now plays for the Dodgers. Same thing happened. Win, win, win. Hit, hit, hit. Base stole, Gus just went on. The Braves could not get away from this man. I was in San Francisco interviewing for a job. St. Matthew's in Pacific Palisades. Are you serious? They wear t-shirts out there, Bill. If you're rich, you live in Malibu. If you're famous, you live in Beverly Hills. If you're lucky, you live in the Palisades. They were filming Baywatch. I saw Pamela Anderson. I did. I saw Walter Matthau walking his dog. I saw Tom Hanks in the Beverly Hills post office. I sat this far from Daryl Hannah. And I didn't speak to her. Greg Frost was there then, egging me on. That Daryl Hannah. And I said, and finally she tapped me. And I turned and she said, "Do you have soy sauce?" I said, "Yes." And I said, "Miss Hannah, I'm John Porter from Atlanta." And she said, "Hello, John Porter from Atlanta." I always wanted to go to California. I didn't get it. But I'm in the hotel, and here's Brett Butler with a bandage on his throat, with a malignant tumor. And he's coming to Atlanta for an operation. And at the time he has this operation, a 17-year-old Colin McCarthy is pitching a no-hitter for Central Gwinnett High School, 5A, for the state championship, striking out 17 batters. And when that game is over, he and his father take the game ball and drive to Emory University Hospital. And there is the second picture in the room of that little boy with his arm around a bandaged Brett Butler, and he has inscribed the ball, "Dear Brett, God bless you always, your friend Colin." You can find goodness in the best of places, the darkest of places. Just remember, turn on the light. Amen.